Mr. Bruce Foster of Bell Aircraft. Next to Mr. Foster, this is Captain Ryan of the American Airlines, First Officer Neff of American Airlines. Now, you fellas had a real experience. What date was this?
I suppose we can go last night on April the 8th.
Was this a regular flight of American Airlines?
Yes, it was.
From Buffalo to New York, sir?
Well, this flight comes out of New York and lands at Albany, Syracuse, Rochester, and Sunday from Buffalo.
What was your first idea that anything was happening that you were sitting there?
This is, excuse me, very brilliant. White light, like an approaching aircraft with its landing lights on. And naturally, we moved away from it, thinking that's what it was. Then we noticed it was standing still at the time, and we got sort of curious.
Talking about what location was there?
This was just about over connected. As we were coming off to Albany, we took off north, and we made a left turn, and we noticed this light over connected and seemed to be standing still.
Light. Now, when you say a light, you mean a light like a light bulb about that color?
Oh, yes, very fluorescent, a very bright light.
Big one?
A large light. It looked more like maybe there was an airplane coming into Albany Airport.
And you both had you saw it?
Yeah.
At the same time?
How close were you to it, you think?
Well, we turned a little bit to the passes to the south of it, and we were probably 2 to 3 miles from it.
And the thing was just standing there, huh?
Just about standing. It was off our wingtips.
Was there anyone else in flight with you?
Well, we had Miss Reynolds, our stewardess, with us.
Did she happen to notice it, too?
Well, she came up. We called her, and she came up and looked at it later on after this had taken off at a terrific speed from where we first noticed.
Well, how long was it stationary there?
Well, we couldn't say that it was actually stationary.
Well, yeah, whatever you were standing there.
Well, from the time we were off the ground at Albany until we it's about 15 miles by air to Schenectady. And it was off our wingtips, and we watched it just go through a 90-degree arc, go right straight to the west, and it was how many seconds would it take to cover a 90-degree arc?
Bruce,
how fast would you say it should be going? Was it at same speed, very radically, during the time that you saw it?
The initial speed, I would say, probably 800,000 miles an hour. How fast can it... it's hard to say, just to compute that speed.
Certainly much faster than another airplane.
Oh, much faster. Much faster than a jet.
Faster than a jet?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I think it could be a jet now at that altitude because their fuel is so critical.
Really? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I doubt if it could have been a good thing. Did it change color at all?
Yes, it did. It changed color after it got to the west of us, probably 8 to 10 miles, it appeared. The light went out. That's what had Bill and I concerned. It went out momentarily, and we knew there was a something up there, and now here we are with a little passenger, something on our course up ahead, and what are we going to do? So we watched this where the flight went out, and this orange object came on, this orange light.
Did you break back at it?
No, we didn't break back at it.
What did everyone have to do, Captain?
Well, we looked at one another a little bit amazed, so we decided we'd call Griffith Air Force Base, and I sensed they had the radar on. So it's on a Saturday night. I guess not very many people are home at an Air Force Base, and they didn't have it on. It took them 30 minutes to energize it, but...
Do they not usually have those on all the time?
I would assume they did. I thought they did, but...
Maybe we'd better not get into that discussion.
Oh, probably not. We'd get a little bit off the track on that. So they asked us to keep it sighted, and we did. And we kept pointing out our location. And as we told them where we were, we turned all our lights on. They asked us to turn them off, and they could see us. And then they asked us if the object you see, orange in color, they said it was. They said, we have
a... after turned orange, then.
Yes.
Yeah.
They said, we have a definite silhouette in sight, south of the field. Now, those fellows are observers who were in the tower. They said that they could see a silhouette.
So now, would they be looking with the eye?
They would be on the fin.
What kind of a silhouette they would see, a silhouette of light?
Well, usually on a radar screen, you refer to as a target or a blip on a radar screen. A silhouette usually refers to something that you see, like a silhouette and something black up against something white.
Well, this is our screen.
Well, I don't know. We don't know whether
the
silhouette they refer to as a radar silhouette or a visual.
I see.
But Watertown could see it, and earthquakes a ways north of Griffith, and Albany saw it. There were two men in the tower at Albany, one an Air Force man and one a CA man. And they saw it after we first called them. Notice NATO threw it to the west and saw it right away.
And when they saw it, was it moving?
They had a chance to talk with them.
But for you, it was moving.
Oh, yes. Yes, it stayed just that far ahead of us. And they asked us what our point of next intended landing was, and I told them Syracuse. And they wanted to be identified, our aircraft number and serial number. And they said, well, abandon that next landing temporarily and maintain the course in your altitude. So we just, they were calling scramble. Scramble is jets that they send up to, I suppose, to go out and intercept these unidentified objects.
Do you know about those, Bruce?
Well, there's one of these bases right up next to the Bell plant up there, and we see these fellows taking off most of the time during the night up there on various training missions.
In other words, they're alerted at all times.
Yes, they are. They usually have a couple of planes alerted on either near the end of the runway, and on a very short notice, these people can take off and climb up to some interception point directed by a radar operator.
You say in a very short time. How long would it take them to get airborne?
Well, they talk about times of 5 minutes. I don't know just exactly how quick they can do it.
Now, I want to ask, when you said that through the height, you didn't need to be a jet. Was it low, or was it low for a jet?
Well, it was low, and it was also low for a jet. There happened to be an overcast that evening. So we eliminated the possibility of a star right off the bat. And a jet burns up 3 to 4 times the amount of fuel at a lower altitude than it does at a higher altitude. I didn't think that a jet could stay down that long without using up a considerable amount of gas.
I didn't know that about jets. You knew that, of course, Bruce.
It's also true of rockets. It's one reason why I wouldn't think it would be a rocket. If they saw it for a half an hour, this is quite a long time to operate a rocket in.
Well, now, I got to ask the question. How fast are you going?
About 260 miles an hour.
Then did they slow down, or why wouldn't they be on your side going 800 miles an hour?
They must have slowed down. They or it must have slowed down.
Yeah, sure. Right.
We unidentified object must have slowed down. Flying as it was.
Yeah, we trailed it out as far as Oswego, which is right on the southern shore of Lake Ontario, and we passed up our point of landing at Syracuse, and we didn't feel we could hold the passengers up any longer. Of course, we didn't advise them.
Well, I think that would have been wonderful.
Well, we had to cross the lake, and there's an international line there, and there's a lot of
Did you just fly away then, leave it standing there?
Well, we were calling Griffiths and asked us to change over to the emergency frequency, which is 121.5, and we couldn't read them anymore at 118.5 because we were down rather low, and the CHF is a line of sight operation. And we did. We changed over, figuring that the interceptors...
I nodded my head, and I don't even know what you're talking about. That's all right. Go ahead.
But we figured the interceptors were going to operate on that frequency and talk to us, and then come alongside of us and take off from where we were in our heading. We called them, and they said they were about off, and that was about 8 minutes, and they couldn't work them any longer. And we turned over to Wichita Hughes Tower, and they were giving relaying the message back and forth. It was on about 10 and 12 minutes, and it's still not off yet. So we can't, we thought it'd still be flying. I just don't know where the jets were. Why did they get the jets up?
Well, what happened to the object?
It went off. It just went to the northwest, and it went
did it go with a more rapid, all of a sudden, at accelerated speed?
It appeared to. After it got over the water, it appeared to really, get out of sight very fast.
It's heading in that direction of Toronto, in that direction.
Those you people in Toronto see an orange light?
Oh, you can imagine little driver playing in the orange light. Who knows?
I doubt it.
Well, now tell us. What do you think of it?
Well, it sounds very much like some of the investigations that Mr. Russo reports in his book on unidentified flying objects. It seems that most of the good sightings that he talks about these shortcomings that either the airplane didn't get off in time or someone wasn't alerted, or there was some reason why they just didn't get a real good look at one of these things. Still, I think that what you people have seen is probably the same thing that has been reported many times in the past 5 years in relation to this subject. You notice that we hesitate to call them flying saucers, so does Mr. Ruppel. He refers to them as unidentified flying objects because many of them are not saucer shaped.
Well, is it saucer shaped or not?
No, I couldn't.
There's no definite shape to it. It's a brilliant light.
The light.
He talked about three different general types. One is a pointed light, much of what you appear to have seen, and another is a cigar shaped light, and a third is a sort of glob of greenish light. Is this at any time appear to be greenish?
No time of it.
Jeff and Ryan, have you had any phone calls about this or anything?
Good number of them, yeah. And letters also.
But didn't someone call you and talk to someone in the Air Force or whatever and say that your experience and this object that you saw corresponds very definitely to other reports?
That's right. That's what they said.
And you don't think it can be a glass?
Or
a rocket? You don't think it can be a rocket? And you don't think it's an airplane? Why didn't you think it had, Mr. Stout?
I don't know.
I wish somebody would come up with the answer.
Well, I think that they are taken all that effort to find out what it is. If they're a government project, I think everybody's for 100% security. But if it's not a government project or something of our own, I think that possibly they should find out what they are. If it's possible.
Next time you see another one, will you please come and tell our friends about it?
No, I'm not going to say a thing about it. Next time you find out what it was.
Thank you, Mr. Foster, for coming to Smith.